faithful of the modern Christmas songs was written by a man by the name of Mark Lowry. He performed for many years with the Gaither Vocal Band, and in 1984 he was asked to pen some words for his local church choir. And he wrote a poem that began like this. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Brett's going to sing this beautiful song following my message this morning. The words haunt me every time I hear them. Mary, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? Mary, did you know when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God? Each of the little couplets touches the heart in a wonderful way. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? The song's been around now for nearly four decades. Listen for it this Christmas. Mary, did you know? How could Mary know what was happening when the angel Gabriel came to her long ago? Only Luke tells this story. The Gospel of Luke is often called the Gospel of Womanhood, because Luke has eight positive stories about women. Later in Luke's Gospel, we discover stories about Mary and Martha, Mary Magdalene, and the women who anointed Jesus' body for burial. In the book of Acts, also written by Luke, we hear another positive story about a businesswoman, Lydia, the maker of purple. Luke tells the story of Jesus' birth from Mary's point of view. The angel Gabriel is the messenger of God, and he's already announced to an elderly gentleman named Zechariah that his wife Elizabeth would have a son, despite her old age. Elizabeth and Mary are cousins, and then Gabriel visits Mary. Following Gabriel's visit to her, you may remember that when Mary visits Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumps when they meet. You won't find any of these kinds of details in the other Gospels. But Luke begins today's story by telling us that in the sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Then Luke adds these words, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." "Greetings, you are highly favored with God. The Lord is with you." What does that mean to be favored by God? I mean, I think this is an important question, especially as we look at this verse. Evidently, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be a bed of roses. Listen as Luke continues. "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God, and you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.'" "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Now, this is an interesting part that we often get hung up on. Mary's not married. She's still a virgin and she's going to have this baby. Is this something that she should be excited about? I mean, Zechariah and Elizabeth had been married for many, many years. And for most of those years, they had been praying for a child. The birth of their son, John, in their old age was literally an answer to prayer. I doubt if the same thing can be said for Mary. She was a teenager, and she was about to become an unwed mother. Whoopee, I'm sure she was happy about that. You see, Mary and Joseph lived within a strict community, regulated by religious laws and customs. Mary could have been stoned for being pregnant and unmarried. And imagine the hurt that Joseph must have felt. She's supposed to be happy about all this? God has an interesting way of showing his favor here. Years ago, a psychologist named Thomas Holmes developed a scale for measuring stress in life. And he assigned various numerical values to events that cause stress, such as the loss of a job, moving to a new city, having a baby, new relationships. Dr. Holmes even included Christmas on his stress list. One writer took Dr. Holmes' scale and applied it to what Mary must have been going through. And Mary's ordeal was off the charts. And this doesn't even include the flight to Egypt, or even more importantly, the experience later in life of watching her beloved son die as a common criminal on a cross. Is this what it means to be favored by God? Evidently, being favored of God doesn't protect you from life's bumps and bruises. That's an important truth here. It's so easy for us to say when things are going our way, oh, the Lord surely is blessing us. It sounds so pious, doesn't it? We are blessed. But we may be in for a big surprise. I mean, it may be that one day we will be the ones who will hear the Lord say, I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. Maybe the reason things seem to be going our way is that we're only living for ourselves. It's easy to have a Merry Christmas and lots of fine presents under the tree when we insulate ourselves from the world's problems. I doubt that God is pleased with our self-indulgence. Conversely, though, if we're going through a difficult time in our life right now, when we feel like we can barely hold on, God may be very close to us. The angel Gabriel, in saying that Mary was blessed by God, was not saying that God would make her way easy. What he was saying was that Mary was going to be used by God. And in the long run of life, that's what being blessed really means. How about you? Can you say that right now you're being used by God for a purpose? Gabriel told Mary that she was favored by God and that she would bear a son. And Mary really asked a sensible question here, and how will this be since I am a virgin? Good question. And this is how the angel answered. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Underline that last sentence in your Bible. Nothing is impossible with God. I've often wondered, is it any more difficult to believe that God gave Mary a virgin birth than it is to believe that Abraham and Sarah and Zechariah and Elizabeth bore children at an advanced age. Certainly Mary in her shame could have lied about the visit of the angel, but there was no way that Elizabeth, who was far beyond childbearing years, could make up a story about her pregnancy. It was a miracle. If Elizabeth was much younger than Zechariah, there could be another explanation. But that was not the case. It was a miracle. And Jesus' birth was miraculous. Nothing is impossible with God. Remember that the next time you're in a difficult and hard place. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, there are many theologians and Bible scholars who have real difficulty with the notion of a virgin birth. For one thing, Isaiah really didn't prophesy that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. A much better translation is simply that a young woman will conceive and bear a son. That's all right. It really doesn't matter to most of us how God sent Christ into the world, only that God did. New Testament scholar Fred Craddock, who was at our national meeting a number of years ago, tells of being in Bethlehem and hearing a Jewish man explain the Christmas story. They were standing out in shepherd's field, a field where the shepherds might have heard the angel's song. And on a clear night, if you stand down there and look toward the city, explained the Jewish man, there's a bright star, and it looks like it's standing right over the houses. And that, he said, is what happened at Christmas. Of course, Craddock's new friend was confusing the shepherd's story with that of the wise men. But Craddock didn't try to correct him. The Jewish man went on to explain that this is how people got confused and thought there was a star over the house where Jesus was. When he finished, Craddock said, well, that's one way to look at it. And then the Jewish man said something very interesting. He said, I know that's just one way to look at it. God always gives us a second way to look at anything that happens. God never overpowers us with certainty. Everything we know about God is seen through a glass darkly. That's what faith is. It's never certainty, it's faith. There can always be another explanation. This is so that we can still be free to say yes to God or to say no. If you have difficulty with the idea of miracles, then God doesn't hold that against you. All we're saying today is when it comes to God, be careful what you say is impossible. Be careful who you call blessed. Be careful what you say is impossible. And finally, be thankful that this young woman said yes to God. You see, Mary was free to say no to God just as we are. God never forces himself on anyone. But when the angel Gabriel gave Mary the news that she would bear God's son, this is how she replied. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary became the mother of the Savior because she was obedient to God. Obedience is not that fashionable a word in our modern world, is it? An older gentleman was commenting to his wife that couples don't use the word obey in marriage ceremonies anymore. Too bad, isn't it, he added. It used to lend a little humor to the ceremony. But obedience isn't in fashion in a do-your-own-thing society. And yet obedience is an important part of the Christian life. There's some things that that people would never force themselves to do except in obedience to God. Mary's life was blessed immeasurably by her obedience to God. Mary, did you know? Mary couldn't have known where this encounter would lead her. But today, 2,000 years later, we know that truly she was favored by God. Be careful whom we call blessed. Be careful what we say is impossible. And finally, be thankful that this Jewish teenager was obedient to God. That's the key to having a life that is truly blessed. Amen.